This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Money Manager Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, November 10th, 2014 edition of Invest Talk. And the title of today's show and our main talking point is Five Simple Steps to Investing Success. And you know, it's always good to go back to the basics and explore what we should all understand inherently. It may not be our natural instinct to do these five things, but if you have any experience in the markets or investing over any length of time, you should have learned these five investing principles. And we're going to go back to them, refresh them, make sure that you understand them, and you can employ them in your investing life from now until, you know, whenever you perish. So welcome to our Monday Invest Talk. We are here every day to help you make better choices, you know, as you work your way towards financial independence. And that's really what it's about. You know, some people talk about retirement, but really it's all about financial independence. It's what we all need need to achieve. And in order to achieve that, we need to be able to balance the information that we get and have perspective. Have some perspective. You know, when I say perspective, looking at the big picture and understanding information in context. Because you know, a lot of people, they take certain piece of information, they interpret it one way, and you have to understand how maybe it could be interpreted another way, and how that might fit differently based on your own personal circumstance, the type of investment you're looking at, the company you're looking at, whatever. So it's important to be able to gather that information and also have some perspective, and that's what we are here to do, is help you decipher a lot of that information. Now, without a sense of long-term working in the market and the economy, it's pretty easy to get lost in the details. So today, there's more to preparing for retirement than simply saving and investing. There's budgeting. When you look ahead at your retirement years, how are you going to generate an adequate monthly income? There are decisions we have to make and you have to make to get the highest possible lifetime benefits from Social Security. What about taxes? You need to minimize the tax bite and take full advantage of retirement tax shelters to keep every penny you've got coming. So investing and saving and retirement, it's a complex beast. There are multi-facets of every discipline under the sun when it comes to your money. And you need to at least have some basic knowledge about everything. And know where to get the knowledge that you have gaps in, right? Because everybody has gaps somewhere in their knowledge base, and it's about having the basic knowledge and then having the resources and the ability to find the knowledge you need to find when you need to find it, depending on your own situation, right? Now, you have to think about your family, safeguarding your estate, protecting your loved ones, and of course, you've got health issues, getting the best health care and insurance. Your success in all of this also depends on how well you organize your family records as well. Do you need to consult a lawyer to make sure you're getting it right? We talk about risk frequently, and mostly it's brought up in relation to our portfolios and whether we own shares or funds that have high exposure to risk. But there's another kind of risk that may not be front and center. Risk from the standpoint of longevity. Will we outlive our savings? What are you doing right now to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to make sure we have an adequate level of income on an inflation-adjusted basis in retirement? Remember, it's not just about the rate of return, but what is the inflation-adjusted rate of return? So there are some of the issues. Those are some of the issues we're going to tackle during our wealth webinar that's coming up this Wednesday, just a couple days away at 6:30 Pacific time. I hope you can join us. It's free, but you need to register. And if you like, you can do that right now on investtalk.com. Now, what other questions are on your mind today? Why not ask a strategy question? Do you have a plan, or just going from day to day reacting to the market or the economy? chasing prices or running away from risk. Let's talk about it. Now let's get to the phones now. Here's our first question of the day from our 24-hour listener line. That number, once again, is 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and or Justin. This is Eric from Clinton, Tennessee, and I had a question for you. I'm looking for an ETF that is correlated heavily to the gas prices. I do know about the transportation indexes and IYT ETF and XTN. Both of them seem to be fairly correlated, although they have some different stocks. I am not a huge believer in airlines, but right now they seem to be doing pretty well because of the gas prices, and I wanted to know what your thoughts were, if there's any other ETFs out there that are heavily correlated to the gas prices. It looks like both of those also rely on the rails and FedEx and CSX and all the different various types of transportation. But is there one that is more directly correlated to the gas prices than another? And I appreciate your opinion. I'll be looking forward on your podcast. And thanks for all you do. Bye.
All right, well, there's if he's looking for something that's correlated to gas prices, well, that was just an ETF that is gas prices. UGA is a symbol, United States Gasoline ETF. That just tracks the price of gasoline. So if gasoline prices are going up, it's going to go up. If gasoline prices are going down, which they pretty much have since the end of June, this was $64 a share then at the end of June, and today it's trading at $48.33. So, you know, it's pretty much mirroring what's going on at the pump. It's mirroring the USO in a lot of ways, which is another. Which is a ETF that tracks oil prices. That's the United States oil ETF. The other price was the U.S. United States gasoline ETF, UGA. So those are a couple ETFs that track energy and oil and gasoline in particular. Now he was talking about the transportation index and which one maybe have more correlation. You know, I think the UAL, or sorry, the airlines are probably going to have a higher degree of impact from higher gasoline prices because, you know, when it comes to transportation, that includes rails and other things besides just trucking, right? And airlines, the bulk of their of the amount that they're spending on moving those airplanes from point A to point B is the cost of gasoline. Now it's you know jet fuel versus you know gasoline you put in our car, so it's a little bit different, but still it's definitely going to be more correlated. So I hope that answers all of your questions. You know, I always look at UGA to make sure I see what gasoline prices are doing on you know a monthly, daily, weekly basis. Now let's keep it simple. If you're just beginning your investing journey, here are five simple steps to investing success that we'll share with you. This is from NASDAQ.com, and you know we all make mistakes, and unless you just stay in bed all day, you'll make your share of them as well. Now our goal should be to make more smart decisions than dumb ones. So that's one of our main talking point today, but I have some others as well. One, I want to touch on three retirement rules of thumb that really work. And I'll list them off here real quick, and then I'll get to maybe how you can improve on them and why they might be good. But you know, what are the kind of caveats? You know, there's a lot of rules of thumb, but rules of thumb are always subject to caveats and changes based on each individual's personal situation. So the first one is save 15% a year. The second one is create an investment portfolio based on your age. And three is for retirement withdrawal, start with the 4% rule. So those are three rules of thumb. And generally, they're pretty good. But I'm going to talk a little about how they might differ between each individual and how you can improve on those rules of thumb. Then I'm going to get to pitfalls of working past age 65. I think this is becoming more prevalent, more needed to be discussed as more baby boomers are approaching retirement or retirement age, 65, right? But a lot of them don't have enough money to retire, so they need to figure out what they're going to do and the pitfalls of potentially working past that age 65. And then should companies reinvest or buy back stocks? You know, a lot of companies have been issuing debt, issuing bonds, right, to bolster their balance sheet because they don't want to be stuck like 2008 when they had no money and they couldn't access the markets and some went bankrupt and there were a lot of issues. So what are the problems going on or what should they do with their money? Should they reinvest in their business or buy back stocks? So those are things that I want to discuss. But ultimately, I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. That's the number to get through and ask your question. But let's take a quick look at today's market. The S&P was up 6 points, the NASDAQ was up 19 points, the Dow was up 40. Gold was down about $5, about a little less than 0.5%. Oil was down about 0.25%. Small caps were up decently, about, let's see, what's that, about 0.4%, about 0.4%. No real big economic news, really wasn't. Trying to think of anything. What's going on this, you know, we had the jobs report on Friday, which was weaker than most analysts had expected, but, you know, nothing, I think, too shocking to the market. You saw a lot of large companies having issues with the stronger dollar, and they slowed down their hiring, which I talked a little bit about on Thursday, to be expected. And the Friday's job number came in kind of where I was talking about on Thursday, which it would come in. And so there really wasn't much economic news. There was some Chinese news that came out over the weekend, which wasn't really shocking either. And you know, I can't think of any big economic news coming out this week. So really just a minor update on the markets today. Now, as financial writer Chris Rotblat points out, it's the ability to stick to our long-term financial strategy plan for an uncertain future that are the real risk reducers. What's your plan? Let's talk about it. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
How do college savings plans work and which one is best? How do you dial up risk in a portfolio to improve performance? Some of the topics on tap for this Wednesday's Wealth Webinar. Sign up now for free on investtalk.com. And if you have a question about the webinar coming up, talk to Justin about it right now, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's go to five simple steps to investing success. And these are five rules that I think everybody should have ingrained in their psyche, investing psyche. A lot of people don't, but it's okay if you don't, because you probably just maybe don't have the experience or haven't been at this game long enough. But eventually, everybody who learns about how to invest, whether it's through making errors themselves or learning from other people's problems, they'll come into these five rules as well and start to embrace them in their investing lifestyle. So we're going to talk about that after the break. The first one is keeping your eyes on the prize, not being emotional, and not allowing the whims and whipsaws of the market to really change your investing trajectory. You know, you have to spend more time thinking about where your company or the economy might be in 5 to 10 years rather than the whims of the market. So that's rule number one, and I'm going to get to the rest after the break. Now, not only can you listen to us on your own terms anytime, any place, you can also get your questions to us whenever it's convenient. Send a message via Twitter now to @InvestTalk. That's Invest Talk with 2 T's, or you can call our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast today, and we hope you'll remember that Wednesday, November 12th, is the date for our Wealth Webinar. It's free, but you do have to register, and you can do that right now on investtalk.com. This is the Monday, November 10th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Justin Klein. Shareholders need to accurately determine a company's true profits. So how do you measure a company's value to its shareholders? That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. And there's still plenty of time today to get in touch. 888-99-CHART.
Now you drive the discussion with your question. We want to help fill in the blanks. You can reach us anytime a question pops into your head at 888-99-CHART. That's how to do it.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Gary. I had a question for your show on a stock, Qualcomm Corporation. I'd like to know what you think that stock should be trading at and if it's a good buy right now. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, he's looking at Qualcomm. Most people know who Qualcomm is, one of the largest mobile phone chip manufacturers in the world, and they had a pretty bad earnings report. They have some issues going on in China. Their stock fell from around $78 a share at the beginning of this month down to $69 a share at the close today, $69.36. Technically, this is a pretty ugly chart. I don't say ugly. It's not good. You know, I've definitely seen uglier, but it's definitely not good. Now, it did find some support around this area from the lows in October when the market, you know, found its lows. So it's back to those levels where the market really bottomed its. So generally, you know, relative strength, very weak. There is a lot of support here, but the longer it stays, you know, below the $70 mark, the bigger the odds are it's probably headed back down into the, you know, it could be even the high 50s. And so I think that's definitely a possibility. Is it a good value here? I would say it's a pretty good value, but, you know, I don't think it's great. You know, our revenue only grew 3%, which is the slowest it's been in at least 2 years, if not more. Yields 2.4%, nice dividend, no debt. I like that. Return on equity 23%. Earnings are still growing nicely, but only supposed to grow 4% next year and 10% the year after. So I would like to pick this stock up a little bit cheaper. I think at 65 is where I'd probably start picking it up, down to the high 50s. If it gets below 60, I would be, you know, really buying the stock. I don't want to say hand over fist, but really, really adding a strong position. So, you know, it's a great company, you know, great strong free cash flow, strong profitability. It's really hard to find big faults with Qualcomm. But I do think technically it's weak, and the odds of it finding support here in the short term are good, but I think you have to look a little bit lower, maybe 10% or so lower, before you find good longer-term support. All right. So that's Qualcomm. QCOM is the symbol. Let's get back to our talking points and talk about the five simple steps to investing success. And number one was not reacting emotionally, you know, looking out 5-10 years when you're analyzing a company or the economy as a whole. Then number two is stay within your wheelhouse. You know, too many investing ideas come from sources you shouldn't trust or based on just faulty assumptions. So instead of taking tips from your friends and family or just off the internet or chasing penny stocks, stick to what you know. You know, if you have experience in the retail industry, understand what companies do well in the retail industry and why they're doing well. You know, I think a lot of women have a leg up on this, especially when it comes to certain brands. You know, Coach, for example. Coach has been out of favor for, I think, a few years when it comes to the style category. You know, a brand that women love to go buy, you know, handbags and such. And I heard women talk about this years ago, a couple of years ago, and that's why I've stayed away from Coach stock, and it's fallen from, you know, 80 all the way down to $34 a share. There's tons of other brands. Michael Kors that's out there that has also started to come down, and that was losing its luster earlier this year. And so, you know, being able to tap into the psyche of what's hot in that particular sector, and the people that know, may not just be you. You know, may not just be, maybe that's the tips you find out. You ask, you don't ask somebody who's looking to invest. You ask somebody who's actually out there spending money in that particular sector. Maybe it's somebody who's works in the home building industry, and figure out what is hot in the home builder. You know, for home builders, the high end homes, low end homes. Maybe it's somebody at Home Depot that she works at Home Depot, and what people are going in there and buying. And you know, do a little research yourself. So it doesn't always have to come from you being the expert in that field, but tap into the experts that you have in around you to find out what is hot in any particular sector. So really sticking with what you know or what people that you know, right? Number three, plan ahead. You know, historically, investors have made more money by starting early and investing consistently over time. You know, at an average of 7% average annual return, someone with $20,000 currently invested would end up with $55,000 in 15 years. But if that same investor also added $300 every month to his or her investment, it would grow to $150,000. So planning, you know, having a plan and keeping that plan on a steady trajectory is very, very important. Number four is think like Buffett. Be savvy when it comes to your investments and be a value investor, not just when it comes to investing, but also budgeting as well, right? And then number five is, you know, number five I'll get to in a little bit. Now remember, it's free, our Wealth Workshop webinar. It's coming up this Wednesday. Sign up on investtalk.com.
We continue now with Invest Talk. We're glad you're with us today. You're invited to bring any money question to Justin right now. 888-99-CHART.
Let me finish up our talking point real quick. The fifth rule, simple rule to investing success is keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open for groundbreaking companies that, you know, come on the scene, have powerful impact in certain sectors. You know, we talk about creative destruction, and I think that is probably the number one rule when it comes to investing is and where you can make the most money. You're talking about triple, quadruple your money in a short period of time are companies that really transform an industry completely. You know, just think of Apple and the iPhone, and then transforming the smartphone industry, and then creating the tablet industry, and then Amazon with, you know, creating online shopping and just transforming that industry as well. You know, Starbucks and transforming coffee drinking throughout the world. So these are groundbreaking companies, and the earlier you can get in on them, the better. But you have to watch out. You know, some companies are overhyped, and the ability for them to impact the industry are overstretched and over-exaggerated. So really understanding a business, understanding the industry is important to be able to find these groundbreaking companies that are really transforming industries. Now let's get back to the phones. I'm ready for any money questions at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Steve calling from Portland, Oregon. I'm a longtime podcast listener and just have a question. I heard a manager say something a few weeks ago, and I'm just wondering what your comments are about it. He said that he never invests in mid-cap mutual funds. He only invests in small-cap and large-cap. The reason for it is because there is no opposite to mid-cap. The opposite of small-cap is large-cap, and the opposite of large-cap is small-cap, but there is no opposite to mid-cap. And that's number one reason. Number two reason is that every mid-cap stock that makes it big and grows eventually becomes a large-cap stock, so we want to catch it on the way up as it emerges into a large-cap company. So he never invests in mid-cap stocks or mutual funds. So just wondering if that's just a bunch of smoke or whether there's any thought to that or just a different way of looking at things. Wonder what your thoughts are. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
I, I smell a lot of smoke. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I don't know who that manager is, but that makes absolutely no sense. Mid-caps are... There's nothing wrong with investing in mid-caps. In fact, during an M&A cycle where there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions, mid-caps actually do the best because large companies buy out those mid-cap companies and roll them into their business. That's what they usually target. They usually don't target as many small-cap companies. So mid-caps are kind of the place to be in that type of a cycle. Longer term, they have great returns, risk-adjusted returns. To say that you want to catch a mid-cap when it gets to a large cap, well, I mean, why not just invest in the mid-cap and let it grow into that large cap? Because that's where the bulk of your returns are going to be for that company. I mean, whoever you're listening to, run away from them. Because unless you're explaining it wrong, which I doubt you are, whatever he's selling you, please don't buy, because that makes no sense. The opposite of a small cap is not always just a large cap. I mean, it's a different risk profile, sure, but in no way, shape, or form is a small cap the opposite of a large cap, and vice versa. This doesn't make sense. So don't listen to any of that. Talk to somebody else. I don't care who it is. Just don't talk to that guy. Anyway. So hopefully that answered your question. Now let's get to one of my talking points today, and it's about three retirement rules of thumb that really work, but with caveats. And talked about it earlier in the show. One was saving 15% a year. Now it's impossible to know exactly how much you must sock away in retirement accounts each year to have a good chance, or a high chance, you don't want just good, you want a high probability that you're going to be able to maintain your standard of living in retirement, right? Well, the rule of thumb is 15% of your salary, and there's a lot of studies that kind of point to that number. And, you know, that figure can include, it includes your employer matching funds. So, you know, if your employer matches 50% of your contributions to your 401k and you save 10%, well, they're going to throw in 5 and you get that to that 15% level. But one problem with this benchmark is that if you got a late start on saving, you know, even 15% a year may leave you with not enough money when you retire. Also, the percentage of income you need to save can depend on the lifestyle you want in your retirement years, and also how much you earn during your career. For example, high-earning people, right, people that make a lot of money, well, if you want to spend the similar amount, say, you know, you make a lot of money, but you also spend a lot of money, there's a lot of people out there like that, and maybe you can save a lot still, even though you're spending a lot, well, when you get to retirement, your Social Security is capped out at a certain point. So, you know, the Social Security income as a percentage of what you've saved is going to be less than somebody who maybe has made less money throughout their working years. So a lot of it depends on, you know, how much money you make, what your lifestyle is going to be in retirement. So 15% is a good starting point, but each person is different. Maybe you want to travel the world when you retire. You're going to probably need to save 20 to 25% of your earnings. Maybe you want to sit at home with your grandkids and, you know, your house is paid off and you're not really traveling, you're not really have a lot of overhead on your monthly needs, and maybe you don't need to save as much. So each person is a little bit different. Number two is create an investment portfolio based on your age. You know, the typical number is take 100, subtract your age, and that should be what you should invest in stocks. Well, that's probably a bad idea because not everyone of the same age has the same risk tolerance. You know, some 45-year-olds may be very cautious, and others might prefer a lot of risk. So you investing the same as another 45-year-old, if you're aggressive and they might be conservative, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So it's not, I think this is the worst rule because I think everyone's risk tolerance is different. And then also their needs are different. If you have a ton of money, okay, you might have the ability and the willingness to take a lot of risk, but you may not need to based on your retirement needs. So I think that's probably the worst of these three. I think it all comes down to your personal risk tolerance, what your needs are, and that's why, you know, we have a free tool on our website, investtalk.com, to see where you're at, see what type of risk you should be taking, and we can help figure out whether your portfolio is on track for that type of risk that you are willing and able to take. Okay. The number three is for retirement withdrawal. Start at the 4% rule. 4% rule is you take 4% of what you have at retirement, so you have $500,000, 4% is 20 grand, well, you take out 20 grand a year. And say inflation is running at 2%, well, the next year you take 20 grand plus that 2%, you take 20 grand, 20,400. And then the next year, $20,840. And so on, it keeps going. Now, this is great, but, you know, like I said before, depends on when you're going to retire, depends on what your needs are in retirement, and I think you have to adjust it every year because, you know, what if you have good returns in your portfolio? Maybe you can take a little bit more. Maybe you lose a little bit of money. Maybe you go into a bear market and you have a little bit of stock exposure. You took a little bit too much risk than you should have. Maybe you need to reduce that 4% number. So it really changes depending on some factors, but that's where you start, and I think you adjust from there. Now, on investtalk.com, you'll see a big blue box with each day's talking point topic. Now, there's a topic and description. If it's after the day's program, you can click on the Play Now button and hear the program played back again.
401k plans are expensive to employers. They have to be carefully monitored. Many administration functions have to be provided. There's a solution, and it gives plan employers lots of good reasons to assign their fiduciary responsibilities over to a third party and the liability that goes with it. If you'd like to explore something better, go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin, and then just write in 401k.
Good morning. You have the 6% or less dividend rule for stocks. How about for REIT funds that pay out a 10% or better dividend, such as TWO and OAKS? Thanks.
OAKS. I don't know where you got that rule that we don't invest in companies with over a 6% dividend. I don't think that's a rule that we created. And it's not a rule that we follow. So I don't know where you got that. But what we do say is, you know, in this environment, over 6% dividend starts to become a red flag. Why is it yielding so much? And usually it means it's kind of a high-risk investment. And sometimes that's okay. Maybe it's high risk for, or maybe it's a risk that should be taken based on what industry they're in, what assets they have, whatever. The characteristics of that company are. So I don't want to tell anybody that that's a rule over 6%, don't invest in it. No, don't. That's not a rule you should absolutely follow, but you should start to think about, you want to think about how they're making money and what are the potential problems that could arise. And he's looking at it. I'll look at the first one, and we'll go on to the OAKS. The first one was TWO, Two Harbors Investment. This is a REIT, and invests in, finances, and manages residential mortgage-backed securities and related investments. So this is a mortgage REIT, and there's a lot of those out there that pay big dividends. Annaly Mortgage is probably the most popular. NLY is the symbol. And that yields about 10.6%. Two Harbors yields 10.2%. And so, yes, this is a very high-risk REIT. But not all REITs are traded the same. The reason this is a high-risk REIT is because it invests in mortgage-backed securities. It's not, it doesn't own the underlying property and getting rents from it. This is like a bank. Think of it more like a bank which only invests in mortgage-backed securities. Well, when the mortgage-backed security market's good, well, it's going to do fine. But when it takes a big dive, like it did in 2008, well, the sector and companies like this are not going to do very well, and especially in a rising rate environment, it does not do very well. And you can see that based on what happened last year in early 2013, before the taper tantrum, it hit $14 a share, hit a low of $9 a share at the end of last year, and so far this year it's up. Why? Because interest rates are starting to go back down a little bit. You know, not nearly to where they were early last year, but they're going down, and that's why this company has done decently. But if interest rates start to rise again, watch out, and I think they probably are, and that's why this is a very high risk investment. So this is an example of a stock or a REIT that's yielding over 10% and is very high risk. So I would stay away from that one. And then OAKS, this is also a REIT, and it's also a mortgage REIT, 13.4%. Not more problems here, the exact same issues. Remember, they borrow short and they lend long, like a bank. They lend in the mortgage-backed security sector. And this is leveraged. This is even worse. This is highly leveraged. So this is not the place you want to be. This is at a high of 15.70 or so early last year. Hit a low of $9.40 or so, and now it's at 11.16. Same type of thing. Bottom to the end of last year when interest rates topped out and has been going up. But once interest rates go back up, this is going to have issues. So stay away from this one as well. So don't think that we are completely against companies that yield over 6%, but companies like this who have major issues and have problems when interest rates rise, it's a bad investment, it's a risky investment, it's not a place I think anybody should really be. Now it's time for Invest Talk Personal, about the day-to-day money decisions we make that can have a lasting impact. Now, a study quoted by AARP says 4 in 10 Americans have been notified by a company they have done business with in the past year that their information has been subject to a security breach. So what can we do to reduce the risk of this kind of loss? You know, fraud, you mean, is what we mean. First thing you can do is be sure your antivirus software is up to date. Number 2 is change critical passwords frequently, possibly every other week. Number 3, don't leave valuable documents in your car or dump them in the garbage unless they've been shredded. Watch your bank records and check your free credit report each year for anything out of the ordinary. Number 5 is only carry your Social Security card for a specific purpose. Otherwise, keep it in a secure place. That's the big one. If you lose your wallet, you know the Social Security card is probably the most valuable thing and the most pain to replace. And if someone else gets a hold of it, that can be a big issue. It's going to be sold in the black market. Who knows where your Social Security number is going to be. Now, that's Invest Talk Personal. And if you'd like to know more about this topic or have topics for us to discuss, just call our anytime number at 888-99-CHART or click on the Contact Justin or on investtalk.com. Now, we've got a good 10 minutes left in the hour. So why not ask that question you've been saving up? There's a line open for you if you get to it now at 888-99-CHART. Do you have a question about one of our topics or a call that we just answered? Give us a call, 888-992-4278.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber. And even though you listen after our daily production time, you can still be part of the discussion. Your questions and comments set the tone and the topics, so please participate. Just call 888-99-CHART anytime. And if you'd like to talk live to Steve and Justin, just make that call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time. Now, more Invest Talk. Your calls help us keep on track, providing you with the information that you need. Bring your money question to Justin right now at 888-99-CHART.
Let's answer one more question before we're done with this hour from a podcast listener at 888-99-CHART. That's how to reach us anytime.
Hello, this is Don from Petaluma. My question is regarding the short sales of stocks. Is there any type of hold where no more short sales will be taken on an individual stock? And my other question following up is regarding the percentage of short sales. What is a good indication that probably the sales or the prices will start dropping if there are any? All right, thank you. I'll be listening on the internet.
Not sure I understand his question. I believe he's asking, can you short individual stocks? Yes, you can short individual stocks. You can short index. You can short really anything that's traded out there on the exchanges if it's available to be borrowed. Remember, you got to borrow it from your brokerage firm and sell it in the market. So yes, you can take shorts on individual names. And then there's short interest, I believe, is what he's talking about. I don't think there's anything that says, okay, the amount of short interest where the stock's definitely going down. I don't think anything like that. So I caution you to not look too deeply into the short interest figures because it's not really tell you a whole lot whether a stock's going to go down. A lot of it just depends on the company. You know, there's certain sectors that typically have more short interest than others. So it just kind of depends. Let's go to Ken in Ramona. How you doing, Ken?
Hi, Justin. Say, I've got some money in a short-term investment grade type bond fund.
Okay.
And I was wondering, I'm thinking about getting out of it because apparently due to the interest increase and everything, interest rates, it's coming down value quite a bit.
Do you know the symbol on it?
It's a Vanguard short term bond fund, investment grade.
Let's see, investment grade. Okay. And you said it's come down quite a bit. Let's see what it's done.
Yeah.
Let's see. It hit about 1078 earlier last month. Now it's at 1071. I don't know if that's a big drop for me. I mean, that's about 1%. You know, what is worrying you about this? I mean, it doesn't seem to be that volatile.
Yeah, I was thinking it looks like it's going to be kind of a trend now for quite some time. I think I've lost a total of somewhere around $1,500 so far over the.
Well, how much do you have in it?
It's somewhere. It's $184,000.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's less than 1%. You know, $1,500. So,
yeah.
You know, this isn't. It's going to have some volatility to it. I don't think it's going to be that volatile. I mean, it's short-term in nature. You know, could it go down, you know, 5%? Sure, it could. You know, you go back to 2008, and it went from, you know, $10.80 down to $9.60. So that's, let's see, $1.20 on, you know, that's about 11-12%. So that's, I think, the worst case scenario. You know, you are investing, you know, investment grade. These are high quality bonds, short term. So there's not a lot of interest rate risk. You know, if you're thinking of this as a cash alternative, is that what you're looking for?
Yes. I was in the money market, and of course that's doing nothing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I went into the short term. To get a better return.
Yeah, I mean, you're. It's just like anything. There's risk versus reward, and you know you're taking a little more risk to get a little more reward. And you know if you can't handle that, you know a 5% drop in this fund, then you shouldn't be in it, because that can happen. Now, you know, do I think it's going to be 5% and then it's going to stay there and you're screwed? No, but. You know, it's definitely going to have some volatility. It's minor in my book, but if you're looking at it as a cash alternative, this is not the name for you. And to be honest, you probably should just stick with your money market fund and enjoy your zero return, because that's what the Fed's giving you. Thanks, Ken. Now, before we close the hour, a reminder to register for our Wealth Workshop webinar coming up this Wednesday at 6:30 Pacific Time. We have a detailed checklist lined up to help your portfolio to become more comfortable in retirement. You can register for free on investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Justin Klein. On behalf of Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.